You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Semi-automatic weapons have been around for a long time, and that just refers to a gun that automatically reloads when you pull the trigger. And there's a number of semi-automatic rifles in use in New Zealand that have a what you would call a legitimate use. For example, farmers use them for controlling rabbits or shooting possums, and hunters that are culling deer or tar herds will also use them because they have this ability to reload automatically, so you can acquire multiple targets with them quite quickly. So semi-automatic firearms as such have been around in New Zealand for a long time and haven't attracted much attention really. They came to our attention in 1990 when David Gray murdered 13 people, I think it was, in Arimoana. And he did that with a weapon manufactured by a company called Norinco in China. And the weapon he was using was a semi-automatic rifle, but it was a semi-automatic assault rifle, which is slightly different from a semi-automatic hunting rifle. And the reason they're slightly different is they use a different kind of ammunition. It's a lighter grade ammunition called an intermediate cartridge. These weapons were developed at the end of World War II by Nazi Germany and tested in the field and proved to be extremely effective and were almost immediately adopted by armies really across the world who developed their own variations of them. So the famous ones that were developed really in the middle of last century, weapons like the AK-47, which you see in the Rambo movies, or an M16, which you see in Vietnam and movies about Vietnam, that was the weapon used by American infantry troops in that war. And the reason they became so effective is because they were able to fire them rapidly and accurately was because of their use of these lower powered cartridges. So these weapons came into military use, and in 1990 we saw for the first time in New Zealand mass murder carried out on civilians by a civilian using one of these weapons. And the government moved very promptly to discuss the issue and consult with the community and went through a law reform process by which amendments were made to our Arms Act to try and restrict the availability of these weapons. Now, there was a debate about whether they should be outlawed completely or whether they should just be subjected to a greater level of scrutiny in terms of who could acquire them and how. And ultimately, it was determined that these weapons would still be available for sale, but that if you wanted to own one, you needed to have what was called a Category E firearms license, which required a much higher degree of stringency in terms of the way that you were assessed as suitable for having these sort of firearms and in terms of where you stored it on your property. And that really was where matters got to in the 1990s. There was a general view, a widespread view, that these weapons ought to be heavily restricted, if not banned, and shouldn't be available for sale for people having a normal firearms license. And that's what happened. The legislation, though, was directed at the appearance of these weapons rather than their core functionality. And the core functionality of them is that they fire what's called an intermediate cartridge. It's low powered. It's not very useful for hunting deer. It will still kill a deer if you go up close enough to it, but it's not designed for long distance hunting with a telescopic sight, which is what most deer hunters do. So this legislation that came in wasn't focused on that feature of the weapons. It focused instead on what they looked like, because they look quite different, these rifles. They've got usually a long magazine. They usually have what's called a pistol grip, which orientates the trigger hand in a vertical rather than a horizontal position. And they just look quite different from the aesthetic appearance of a hunting rifle or one of the old rifles used in World War I or World War II. So the legislation focused on that, and inevitably through the 90s what happened as a result was that there became a bit of a cat and mouse game between overseas arms manufacturers and importers and the police as to how they could modify the appearance of these weapons so as not to require a Category E license to restrict them. And that game continued really through the late 90s and into the 2000s. And in 2009, the police finally got to a point where they'd had enough of this and said, no, we're going to issue a pamphlet, issue a directive saying we're not content with the approach that had been adopted to date. We now say that if you've got one of these firearms with a pistol grip underneath it, even if you've modified the pistol grip a bit to make it look a bit different, we're still going to consider that this is what is called a military-style semi-automatic under the legislation, and you need a Category E license for it. So they issued this directive in the middle of 2009, and it prompted a judicial review proceeding in the High Court brought by a gun advocate, Mr. Richard Lincoln, and Mr. Lincoln was successful with his judicial review proceeding. And the High Court ruled that if you had one of these assault rifles with what's called a thumb hole stock, which is a different kind of grip for your trigger hand, then it was no longer a MSSA under the legislation and could be owned by anyone with a Category A license. Following that decision of the High Court, the police took the matter to the government and said, we need help, this can't be right, please amend the legislation. And the government then passed a law that was supported by all of the parties in Parliament, and that law was to the effect that these assault rifles, and in particular their trigger grips, were to be the subject of a new definition, and the new definition was to be promulgated by regulations that were to be developed by the government. And that is where the problem starts, because the regulations that came out from the government at the end of 2013 had a new definition for trigger grip. And what they said in the regulations, if you look at them, was that thumb hole stocks don't count as trigger grips and don't make the weapon a military-style semi-automatic. And they also said if you had a second point, or effectively said if you had a second point of connection between the trigger grip and the structure of the rifle, then it won't be a military-style semi-automatic rifle either. And that order in council effectively enabled the sale of military assault rifles throughout New Zealand from 2014 onwards. And discussions about whether there was a loophole in the law or inadequate legislation are, in my view, misguided. In fact, there was a specific regulation passed by order in council by the then government, which enabled these weapons to be sold with a minor modification to the trigger grip, and provided that you didn't sell them fixed with a or sell them with a high capacity magazine, which, as we all know, can be purchased separately and then engaged with the weapon. So that's a short an answer as I can give you to your question as to how this happened and how these were being sold. Until 2013, they shouldn't have been sold under the legislation, and the police, when they tried to take a stricter approach to this issue and tried to regulate their sale, had an unhelpful decision from the High Court, which was resulted in them going to Parliament to get the law changed. And rather than the law changing to make these weapons unlawful, they're unlawful in California, for example, which specifically outlaws thumb hole grip assault rifles. But rather than Parliament doing that, it said, well, the government can decide, and delegated power to the government to make regulations about it. And the government, in its wisdom, said, well, thumb hole grips are fine, as are what are called Dragunov grips, which you may have seen in some of the photographs from Friday on the weapons used there. That's what was being used. And they were specifically legalised by these new regulations. So that's, I hope that's helpful. That's quite a long answer, I know, to your question, but that's the background to how they came into the country. It's really from 2013 onwards that they were here. And for people like myself, I've got a firearms license, so I was just aghast to discover that this had occurred. I had no idea that they were around. They should never have been around, these sorts of weapons.
If you could narrow down specifically what happened in 2013 and maybe give a little bit more of a simplistic explanation. So essentially what you're trying to say is that guns were with the modification, and if you didn't sell them with the high round cartridge, you could sell the gun, essentially. Is that what you're trying to say?
No, so it's not that. The talk about modifications is a bit of a red herring. So assault rifles are assault rifles. They're assault rifles because they fire what's called an intermediate cartridge, which means it's a lower-powered cartridge that propels the bullet out of the end of the rifle. And that's significant because it allows you to shoot rapidly without the gun jumping around in your hands a lot because of the recoil, if that makes sense. So the moment you start bringing in any kind of rifle into the country which is using intermediate ammunition and is semi-automatic, it is designed for one thing only, and that is for killing people. It's just, these weapons are not designed for deer hunting because a lot of deer hunting occurs at much longer ranges and you need bigger bullets with much more powerful cartridges to propel them. These weapons use specific types of ammunition, and the moment you have that ammunition coming in with the weapons that fire them, you've got a problem because their only purpose is to be fired out of a semi-automatic weapon at people. And that is the issue that Parliament never really squared up to and the government never really squared up to with these rifles. And the talk about the modifications, as I say, is a red herring. The way the rifles look is not really that relevant, and the fact that they may have had a smaller magazine. So the magazine is like a clip that attaches into the rifle and feeds ammunition into the firing mechanism. And if you've got 30 rounds in the clip of in your magazine, then you can obviously keep shooting for a lot longer, whereas if you've only got 5 or 6, you'll run out and you have to change magazines. But these are not significant differences. A lot of magazines are designed to be changed very, very quickly, whether it's a 5-6 round magazine or a 30 round magazine. And if you want to effectively retrofit your assault rifle with a different capacity magazine, then, as is now well known, that's a very simple process. It's not a modification in the sense that you might use that word. It's not like you're changing the exhaust on a car or altering some functional element. You're just changing the size of the magazine that clips into the weapon. It's not a modification at any level.
Thank you. I mean, you definitely simplified the explanation on the second time.
Complicated.
Yeah, exactly. Because obviously, like, for our listeners who have no experience with guns, you know, it will probably be, you need that sort of simplistic explanation. But what would you suggest are your future recommendations so that this would never happen again?
The legislative needs to recognise that the problem here was the sale of an assault rifle. And assault rifles have very definite characteristics. They fire intermediate cartridges and they're semi-automatic. And that's what they need to ban. And that shouldn't be difficult. In Australia, they've banned large calibre, what we call centrefire, semi-automatics altogether, and that's a sensible thing to do here as well, because we don't get into arguments about the calibre of the rifle or the ammunition it's using, whether it's a full-size cartridge or an intermediate cartridge. We just ban all of them. The only real civilian use for a semi-automatic centrefire rifle is around culling large groups of animals like tar or bear, and specific licences can be made available for those operations, you would expect, but otherwise most hunters are not using semi-automatic centrefire rifles to go hunting with simply because they're not looking to shoot multiple animals when they go out in the morning for a hunt. And the reason for that, for people that don't understand, haven't been hunting, is that deer are big animals and you can only really shoot one at a time because you then have to butcher it and carry it out. So most hunters are not looking to shoot multiple animals at once when they're out hunting. They're just looking to take one, either for a trophy or for meat. And there's just not really any need for semi-automatic centrefire rifles in New Zealand, and there never really has been, other than, as I say, for culling. So short answer to your question is that you just ban semi-automatics full stop if they're in a centrefire calibre, and that's what they did in Australia very successfully.
Do you think there'll be any opposition to banning of those type of weapons?
Inevitably, there will be discrete opposition. You won't necessarily see it, but it will be there. There'll be unhappiness that semi-automatics have been banned altogether. That's what we saw back in the early 1990s when attempts were made to restrict their use. Not only were semi-automatic assault rifles not banned altogether, they were just placed into a different category in terms of who could own them. So yeah, there'll be resistance, I expect, but I don't expect that resistance to be successful.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.